The Truth News Network. When you're sick already of your kids' home for the duration, how about a dose of clarity, a shot of reality, a tumbler of the truth? TNN,
The Truth News Network.
And here's your guide through the maze, Dan Newman.
Well, just grab a big old mug of coffee, and it's Saturday morning. Relax with me. And let's talk about something other than coronavirus today. It's important. We'll get back to it in a day or so and give you some more information that you probably don't know regarding coronavirus. But in the interim, let's talk about something that popped out in America yesterday, and it is ugly. It's about the stock market, which apparently is Congress's illegal piggy bank. Did you know that for decades, members of Congress have taken advantage of financial details they get from pending legislation or from those who are directly involved in specific business negotiations with Congress? It's been prevalent through the years for members to enrich themselves with suspect stock market transactions that could only have happened because of their access to and then using that information they get. Who would have thought that coronavirus would have opened a door for our federal employees, members of the House and the Senate, to take advantage of a pandemic that has 330 million Americans hiding under desktops in fear for their lives? But that is happening today. We'll get to all those details in just a moment. But first, do you remember the words of President Obama's chief of staff and later mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel? He said this when he was in the White House. You never let a serious crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you could not do before. That's precisely what current members of Congress have been secretly doing. But it has happened often in the past, but mostly just to make a lot of money by playing the congressional monopoly game. Let's make a deal. What's happening now is not new. It's been going on for decades. Before we give you the latest, the one that I told you is about Friday, yesterday, let's look back a few years. Then Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia, President Donald Trump's eventual Health and Human Secretary, when he was just a nominee, was under siege. The harsh lights of a Senate hearing were shining on him. News reports showed that he had bought shares of a tiny biotechnology company while sitting on committees in Congress that could influence the firm's prospects. A colleague, Representative Chris Collins, a Republican from New York, had tipped him to the investment. Representative Doug Lamborn, a Republican of Colorado, bought shares of the same tiny Australian company, Innate Immunotherapeutics. Within 2 days, three more members also bought in. Republicans Billy Long of Missouri, Mike Conaway of Texas, and John Culberson of Texas. Conaway added more shares the following week. And then there's Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, the Rhode Island Democrat. He sits on the Senate HELP Committee, which oversees health care, is a substantial investor in pharmaceutical stocks. Nothing wrong with that, right? As lawmakers closed in on a bipartisan deal over a significant medical research bill called the 21st Century Cures Act, Whitehouse bought shares in the pharmaceutical firms of McKesson, Gilead, and Abbott Laboratories 10 days before the bill was made public. Whitehouse and his wife bought additional stock in Gilead and Amgen, another big company, 2 days before the House voted on that bill. The day President Barack Obama signed the bill into law, Whitehouse started a series of three sales of shares in those companies. Nothing wrong with that, right? Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from Illinois, was a guest speaker at Prescient Edge, a small research and technology firm with Defense Department contracts, in January of 2016. When the company raised private capital later that year, Kinzinger bought into the tune of $20,002. I don't know where the $2 came from, but it was $20,002. Kinzinger was a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which, incidentally, oversees issues affecting Prescient Edge. Representative Chuck Fleischman, Republican from Tennessee, served on the Health Care Appropriations Panel. As then Vice President Joe Biden was pressing lawmakers to approve funding for his Cancer Moonshot proposal in the summer of 2016, a Fleischman family account invested in two companies, Juno Therapeutics and Celgene, which were developing new cancer drugs. One of the investments was made a week before the Obama administration announced new measures that would speed up approval for cancer therapies. 384 House members and senators who served in the 114th Congress made no stock trades over 2 years. That's good news. Meanwhile, the lawmakers who are active in stock trading conducted a total of more than 21,300 trades during the same 2 years. But a small group of very wealthy lawmakers accounted for a significant share of those trades. I don't have the exact number those participated with. Texas Republican Representative Mike McCall reported approximately 7,300 stock transactions in an array of industries over the 2 years. Oregon Democratic Representative Kurt Schrader made a substantial number of trades in companies that have an interest in the committee's health and energy work. Schrader made close to 700 stock trades in 2 years. All of those happened, folks, while these people were working for us. They had full-time jobs in Congress, did a whole bunch of trades. That takes a whole bunch of time. Instances of insider trading by members of Congress are not difficult to find. That's a sad thing. For example, in 2008, then-Congressman Spencer Baucus shorted the U.S. stock market one day after attending a confidential meeting with Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke, who at the time were the Secretary of the Treasury and Chairman of the Federal Reserve, respectively. Now, you think about that. You have Hank Paulson and Bernanke, Ben Bernanke. They were Secretary of the Treasury and Chairman of the Federal Reserve when this meeting took place. At the meeting, which took place on September 18th, Baucus and other members of Congress were given material non-public information about the extent of the risks that were facing the financial system at that time. Baucus shorted the U.S. stock market. Just in case you don't know what shorting it is, it's like betting, putting money up and betting that a stock, or in this case, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, was going to plummet. And if it goes down, you cash in and make a bunch of money. John Boehner and Dick Durbin, both senators at the time, also attended that closed-door meeting. Both of them placed orders selling shares in mutual funds the following day. These are just a pittance of examples of those who have been found involved in unscrupulous stock dealings in the past. Discovering these transactions, which are publicly reported if one cares to dig to find them, show there is a strong propensity for many lawmakers to take advantage of insider information obtained by just being a member of Congress. House and Senate members who are active traders insist their buying and selling is just a normal part of managing their finances, as with any American who wants to save for retirement or put their kids through school. But their colleagues don't seem to agree. The clear majority of lawmakers, thankfully, avoid potential conflicts of interest by buying mutual funds, putting their portfolios in blind trust, or simply staying out of the stock market. Wouldn't that be the wise and ethical approach for those who have access to information that could possibly be used for self-enrichment? I think so, and I'm pretty sure you and most other Americans feel that way too. We can't leave Nancy out of this whole thing. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, when just a representative back in 2012, was slapped on the wrist by Congress for participating in several obvious personal enrichment transactions committed by her husband, Paul. Both the Senate and the House passed a bill called the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. You love that name? The Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. In other words, hey guys, quit the heck out of insider trading. And the nickname for it was Stock Act. The measure made it illegal for members of Congress to engage in insider trading. The act was passed in April of 2012 during the presidency of Barack Obama. The Stock Act was fondly termed the Pelosi Rule by Republican members of Congress. Americans were happy, ecstatic that it appeared. Finally, a stop had been crafted for greedy public servants who seemed to always leave Congress as multimillionaires when being just average economic Americans when entering Congress. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Here we go. Congress at its finest. In April of 2013, Congress amended the Stock Act, loosening its financial disclosure requirements and making it more difficult for members of the public to access the required filings. The Stock Act outlawed insider trading by members of Congress. The law passed in April of 2012 with strong bipartisan support. In April of 2013, key provisions of the law were weakened, reducing the safeguards against insider trading. Does any of that surprise any of you? I'm deeply concerned, said Minnesota Democratic Representative Tim Walz, an early supporter of the Stock Act who does not himself trade stocks. If you buy stock and they do something that changes that stock, you've got to know what's going on. Yeah, in my world, we call that, if it quacks and waddles, it's almost always a duck. But there's trouble on the Hill. Busted. What's happening in Washington, D.C. right now? We got through the Mueller investigation, the impeachment trial of President Trump. We're 8 months away from a presidential and congressional election. What could possibly go wrong now? Coronavirus. Now, you didn't forget that statement above that Rahm Emanuel made. In case you did, here it is again. You never let a serious crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things you could not do before. Coronavirus is certainly a horror for all of us. But several in Congress, in the shadow of the current pandemic, found a way to make a few quick bucks. If you haven't heard, it's because you've been asleep, or maybe you are fasting national news coverage. Four senators dumped millions of dollars worth of stock while Capitol Hill was being briefed on the threat of coronavirus, but before the markets tanked, as infection soared, disclosure records have shown us that. They are Republicans Richard Burr, Kelly Loeffler, James Inhofe, and Democrat Dianne Feinstein, collectively, between them, offloaded up to $11 million in stock between late January and early February. That's according to disclosure records. Richard Burr, and I got to say, I really like the senator. He is amazing. He handles himself really, really well. He's the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee that was directly briefed on coronavirus. He sold up to $1.7 million in stock, including in hotels, according to reporting from ProPublica. To put Burr's actions in context, now listen to this. His last financial disclosure form filed with the Senate showed his total net worth at $1 million bucks. Yet, ProPublica reported he sold $1.7 million of stock. Why and how could the senator sell stock he reportedly did not own? Or maybe, just maybe, he came into some stock ownership at that level between the time of his disclosure statement and the coronavirus attacking the stock market. I don't know that happened. I'm just saying, how could that extra $700,000 worth of stock show up? Burr's spokeswoman said in the statement to DailyMail.com that Burr filed his financial disclosure form several weeks before the markets showed volatility. Yeah, we know that. But he knew he had a pretty good idea what was about to happen. Feinstein, a member of the same committee, sold up to $6 million in stock, including in a biotech firm. Loeffler dumped up to $3.1 million in investments starting on the day the Senate Health Committee, which she sits on, was briefed by the CDC. Meanwhile, James Inhofe sold up to $400,000 in stock, including real estate. Loeffler and Feinstein have defended themselves, saying their stocks are invested in trusts and in portfolios that they have no personal control over. Inhofe has not commented. One thing I need to mention here. Loeffler, her husband, is the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange. I bet you he has a little information on stuff before a lot of it takes place. So this Saturday morning, as we're being calm, being cool, being collected, drinking a cup of coffee, and maybe you've segued over to an adult beverage. You know, numerous times you've witnessed us here at Truth News Network asking a question in stories and podcasts, what's going on? We're asking it again today. It's obvious that politicos in Congress have bountiful opportunities for self-enrichment once they're seated in the House or Senate. It just can't be an accident that so many enter Congress with modest net worth, but so many leave their post years later worth millions of dollars, some tens of millions of dollars. That's not normal, and is obviously based on enrichment opportunities that are not available to the general public, to you or me. And they are our employees, folks. They work for us. That Pelosi rule that was passed and signed into law by President Obama was little more than a straw gift given to Americans to show we in Congress are going to police ourselves and make sure no one cheats regarding trading illegally. They lied. In your world, do you know of any other public entity that's like Congress in which workers can cheat, take advantage unethically and sometimes illegally to make money, and there's no accountability to anyone for those actions? Everywhere else, they can get fired. They can even go to jail. Not Congress. You know, in many respects, it kind of reminds me of that old saying, that's kind of like prisoners, not the guards, guarding other prisoners. Self-policing seldom works, especially when it comes to someone else's money. What's most objectionable to me about this has not changed since I first discovered it. These 535 elected officials each took an oath of office to serve us, all of us, and they're paid very well, far better than our average Americans. Doors they certainly would never know of open to them as they meet and interact with those in business while they're in office. That's normal, but there's no honest explanation for the actions you are hearing about from those today. In the real world, here's how this should be structured. I'm talking about Congress and possible insider trading. One, before taking the oath of office, each member of Congress would be required to either divest 100% of their personal holdings, other than a retirement plan already in place, and then to place all of their personal and business assets remaining into a valid blind trust in which they, nor their spouses, nor their children have any knowledge of or any control of any kind. Two, no member of Congress would be allowed to receive any compensation of any kind other than their published congressionally controlled income and expenses while serving their term in office. Period. Three, no lobbying of members of Congress or any person serving in the White House or a cabinet position can participate in any type of lobbying as defined in existing U.S. law. Under no circumstances can any member of Congress receive any kind of compensation from lobbyists. Nothing whatsoever. That includes payments of any kind, direct, indirect, or even in kind. That prohibition applies to the immediate family members of those in Congress. I got to tell you, one of the biggest things lobbyists do for members of Congress are these unbelievable vacations to Bermuda, to Europe, to other places in the Caribbean, all taxpayer-funded through lobbyists, and they just go crazy spending those kind of dollars, millions of dollars every year. That has to stop. And finally, and most importantly, any member of Congress found to have violated any of these will immediately be removed from their office in Congress. Immediately. Further, the Department of Justice will immediately file charges for felony violations against those former members and any person or persons who participated in facilitating this illegal process. Four things. I promise you, folks, that would radically and dramatically and instantly change the way Congress operates. Let me ask you this. What is the role of those serving in Congress? To represent us, period. No longer should Americans feel that serving in Congress is really serving. It's not right now. Being in Congress sadly means obtaining unscrupulous, if not illegal, opportunities to personally enrich one, trying to gain as much wealth as possible by walking as close as possible to the felony line without stepping across it. Here's a challenge today, Saturday. Ask your members of Congress from your congressional district and elsewhere in your state, your two state senators, if they would support a law completely prohibiting extra compensation based on these points above. Most are going to reply if you ask them, I'd have to see the bill before I could commit to support it. When they say that, ask them this, how about you create such a bill and promote it in Congress? I guarantee the answer will be a resounding no, with all kinds of excuses. That's sad, isn't it? Sad mostly that so many take advantage of it, and us. But it's saddest of all that so many do it at all and think nothing of doing so. That says a lot about them. Who in God's name have we put in charge of creating the laws of our nation? We thought they worked for us. Apparently, they don't. That sounds like a tough way to start a Saturday morning. You know, we're all hovered in our houses. We can't go anywhere. We can't go to the movies. We can't go to the restaurant to eat dinner. It's Saturday. What are we going to do tonight? We can't even go to church tomorrow. And then I give you this downer about the stock market and Congress illegally using it as their own piggy bank. I'll apologize for this. I'm apologizing that I had to give you a downer today. But I'm not going to apologize for anything else. You know why? Here, we're committed to giving you the truth. That's what we do every day. And that you just heard is the truth. Instead of getting angry about this and about those that represent you and me in Congress, why don't you just do this? It's Saturday. Make a note on your calendar. And first thing Monday, give their office a call in D.C. It's easy to find all of the congressional phone numbers. You can just look up the Senate and who serves in Senate, your two senators. Their numbers to reach them are there. The same thing for the congressperson that represents you in your district. Give them a call. If you can't get anybody on the phone, likely you won't be able to, leave them a message. And then, of course, you can go online and find their individual emails. Drop them a note. If they find out enough of us care, they'll do something. They need to go back in and put some teeth in that law, the Pelosi rule, that they just obliterated 1 year after it was passed and signed into law. On that note, I am out of here. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your sequestration. Men, enjoy your wife. Women, tolerate your husband. Have fun with the kids, too. We'll talk soon. Thanks for being here and sharing with us at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Because truth matters. You're listening to TNN, the Truth News Network.